Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
An Erios original.
Hey, Maria.
Yeah, Amanda?
Let's go on a vacation.
I'm still a little nervous about traveling.
But what if I told you that we could take our dream vacation without ever leaving the house?
Like a playcation?
Exactly.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to
Playcation. I'm Amanda.
And I'm Maria.
And each week, we plan rival fantasy vacations to the same locations, and you vote on whose trip you'd rather take. It's so sad.
It just might be fun.
Well, well, well. I'm sure everyone is dying to know the results of last week's trip we planned to Prince Edward Island. And to you, I say, listen to the unpacking episode to find that out.
You better go back and listen to that bonus unpacking episode that you skipped over, because it's all right there and there's some real good nuggets in there.
That's right. And so this week we are playcations to Mexico City, Mexico.
That's correct. And it was, man, I really dug in.
Did you? I didn't. I will just say this. It's, well, you know what? I'm not going to say anything.
All right. Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
I did too. And I will say, I want to do a shout out to Paisley Gray, because I did text her, because her and her husband, Ben Gray, who is in the band Dear Boy, who you should all check out Dear Boy. Their music is fantastic. And Dear Boy did a concert in Mexico City a couple years ago. And I know they had gone to some really cool places. So I asked her, hey, where are some places you went to? And a lot of them were too expensive for me. Not that they were like grand and expensive. It's just I was on a roughing it budget. And so I had to kind of just zero in on one place that I was like, okay, I could do this. So I want to thank the Grays for doing the heavy lifting for one of the places I picked. Well, should we get into it?
Yeah, let's pack our bags and get going off to Mexico City. Here we go.
Whoa!
Non-stop flight time from LAX to Mexico City is around 3 hours and 45 minutes. In the winter, Mexico City can be chilly, and summers can be rainy, so the most popular time to visit is between March and May for beautiful weather.
Mexico City is the capital and largest city of Mexico, and the most populous city in North America. Mexico City is one of the most important cultural and financial centers in the world. Mexico's capital is the oldest capital in the Americas.
Lonely Planet writes that revamped public spaces are springing back to life. The culinary scene is exploding and a cultural renaissance is flourishing. On top of all that, by largely managing to distance itself from the drug war, the nation's capital remains a safe haven of sorts.
A stroll through the buzzing downtown area reveals the capital's storied history, from pre-Hispanic and colonial era splendor to its contemporary edge. This high octane
megalopolis. No, you better say it.
Not
say it.
This high
megalopolis.
This high octane megalopolis.
See? Yeah, now you know a new word.
It felt good to say. Lonely Planet teaches you things. They also taught us stuff in the Kimberly episode that we had never heard half of those words.
I still all I know is that I don't know what those words mean.
And I don't know what a megalopolis is, and something tells me someone's trying to pull the wool over my eyes here.
Okay, so megalopolis, sometimes called a megapolis, is a city cluster or super city, a group of two or more roughly adjacent metropolitan areas.
Metropolis.
Okay, so it's big, okay? That's what they're trying to say.
Yeah, God forbid. This high-octane big city
contains plenty of escape valves in the way of old school cantinas, intriguing museums, inspired dining and boating excursions along ancient canals. With so much going on, you might consider scrapping those beach plans.
ExplorePartsUnknown.com writes, much like the rest of the country, it is a city of contrast with immense gaps between the haves and the have-nots. Mexico City will grab your heart, sometimes lifting it higher than the surrounding snow-capped peaks, other times pulling it right out of your chest, still beating with the anguish felt by the sacrificial victims of the ruthless Mexica rulers.
Ooh.
Be prepared to be exhilarated and disgusted, delighted and saddened, amused and scared, possibly all within the span of a few blocks.
Condé Nast Traveler writes, the sprawling, complex, always changing megalopolis.
Ding ding ding.
Oh my god. Well, there's some crossover with, so there's some writer in Lonely Planet that's also working for Condé Nast.
Yeah, there is, because they also say it's a study of contrasts. Which is exactly what exploreparsunknown.com wrote.
Well, so someone, there must be just one travel blogger that does all the blogs. It's overworked. From its epic street food to its chef-driven, pilgrimage-worthy restaurants, Mexico City is arguably the most exciting food city in the world. And its sophisticated hotels, grand public parks and boulevards, and chic shopping streets rival those of Europe. There's no way you can see, taste, and do all you'll want to do in one visit. But don't worry, it's a place that gets deep under your skin. You'll be back.
Okay, so this week I am starting with my placation first.
And what did you get on that wheel of adventure?
Yes, so my budget is luxury. That's $650 to $2,000 a night, which I will say, Mexico City, you do not need to be on a luxury budget to even get like the nicest hotel room. My travel personality, I got a thrill seeker.
Mm-hmm.
So I love the thrill. And my surprise is that I'm traveling with my mother-in-law. Should we just remind people what yours was too, so they know?
Mine is that I'm on a roughing it budget, which is spending $0 to $50 a night on lodging. My travel personality is a foodie. And my travel surprise is that I too am traveling with my mother-in-law.
Okay, so now it's time to play Vacation.
Let's hear, Amanda, what's going on in your playcation?
My playcation this week. Last week I mentioned that I thought traveling with my mother-in-law was actually a gift, not a burden. And because my mom, Jan, and my grandma, my paternal grandma, so not my mom's mom, my father's mom, used to travel together all the time when I was very young. So my mom and Grandma Betty Ann would leave for weeks at a time. And I was, you know, maybe like, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old at this time, probably when you, you know, need mother most. And they were off having adventures of a lifetime, like climbing the pyramids, like going on a safari in Kenya.
This is real Janet Lund?
This is Janet Lund and Betty Ann.
Wow.
And so, and my mom and my and her mother-in-law just got along swimmingly. So I decided to use that as inspiration for my thrill-seeking holiday to Mexico City. And the title of my placation is Jan and Betty Ann's Mexico City Adventure.
Well, this is okay. This is fun.
Yeah, so I planned this trip with them in mind. And other than that, I'll just say there's no real story here. It's just an authentic, sincere ode to my mother and my grandma. And if that's not good enough for you guys, well, maybe check in with yourself.
I think that you're allotted a week where you don't have, you know, we had Sandal last week and Sandal came into our hearts. She basically took out our hearts with a knife and like, you know, waved it around and then put them back in our bodies.
It was a lot for everyone. So this week we're all getting a break.
Okay.
So looking for hotels on my luxury budget, you don't need a lot in Mexico City. So actually, this was a little bit of a burden. And the thing was, I didn't want to get a really fancy rental with 8 bedrooms.
Yeah.
You know, because as I remember, our friend Jeremy Connor, who directed Ghost Girls, he took a Mexico City trip. This is years ago. And he told us about it. He and some friends got this beautiful apartment rental with a private chef.
Okay, I don't recall him ever saying this. Did he? Was I not there?
I don't know.
Or was I there not listening?
You may be there not listening. Although private chef would have made your ears perk up.
I know. Anything. Yeah. So I wasn't there. I couldn't have been.
But anyway, I just know for Jan and Betty Ann, they want to stay at a hotel. First of all, because like they want to feel, you know, safe and secure. And Mexico City seems pretty safe. But I just think like I wanted the hotel experience for them. So, but I didn't want to stay at one of the mega hotels because they do have a Four Seasons there. And there's another really big, mega, nice hotel. But I was like, that's not the experience I want. I was honestly looking for more of a Hacienda vibe, which turns out is not the Mexico City vibe. It's much more European and slick.
Right.
But I found something that I think is a good compromise. So it's called Hotel Nima, a local house hotel. So this is tucked in to a neighborhood.
This looks cute as hell.
It's super, super cute. So let me just quickly put this, the website in English. It's beautiful sort of French-Mexican architecture fusion. Lots of lovely ornate cast iron and stone. It's tucked into a residential neighborhood on a tree-lined street.
This looks so cute. What neighborhood is it in?
It is in the Roma neighborhood. Colonia Roma. Yeah, is that where you're staying? Yeah. You don't have to tell me. But it's a very kind of high-end cultural neighborhood. Lots of cafes and bookshops. And this hotel is boutique. It only has 4 bedrooms.
Ooh.
And so let me show you some of these bedrooms because they're really nice. And of course, this is ranging about $500 a night. So I'm using your PEI loophole and booking a separate rooms.
And that's fair. And it is wild. And we're so used to like staying, like going to Hawaii or going to Europe or going to even in like cities in United States where a luxury hotel is like $700 a night.
And you go to these
at least, and you go to these other places where you're like, this is wild. You've got the most beautiful hotels for like $300, $400, $500 a night. And it's just, you realize that there's so much to do in the world that you don't have to spend so much money doing that's still luxury.
Say it, girl.
I'll say it until they shoot me down.
And I think it's honestly good traveling with the mother-in-law, even if you love each other, you still need your own private space, right? Like perhaps there's a phone call at night where you call your husband and do a little venting just to stay sane.
Or get a little Hank, you know, get a little R-rated.
Oh, I like where your mind is going.
Okay, so I'm looking at the rooms here. Amanda's showing me. They're hardwood floors. There's a beautiful king-sized beds with...
What I want to say is like faux fur throws, but it's probably real like lamb's wool.
No. Those are faux. I would say those are faux. And then it's clothed or what do you call it? What do you call those headboards where it's like material?
Oh, you're thinking of these. There's like these big, a macrame hanging sort of serape looking. Oh, you're talking,
talking
about
the cushioned actual headboard.
Yeah, like a big headboard. Luxurious cushioned headboard. So it's very light. It's very airy. There's a beautiful balcony that overlooks the courtyard. Yeah, they're just lovely rooms. So these rooms are going to set you back, depending on when you travel, between like $400 and $600, I think, a night.
Great.
So basically in my budget. And I just, another couple of things to know about this hotel. Every Thursday, they have music nights out on their terrace.
Ooh, I love that.
From 6 to 8, you are going to arrive to find your table ready with a welcome drink. You can order food off of their dinner menu and simply enjoy the music, okay? And in the background, the sound of the water from the iconic fountain of the house mixed with the best classic saxophone covers.
Okay.
So after a day of thrill seeking, I just love the idea of Betty Ann and Jan relaxing to some classic saxophone covers with, you know, maybe a tequila.
I can just imagine them in like those big chairs, like those hooded chairs, you know, like those just like lounging, and they probably have their shorts on from traveling all day. Of course, you know?
Their shoes are filthy.
Yeah, their sandals. They're like, you know, their strappy sandals, shorts, and their polo tanks.
I have got to have my mom send me some pictures of her and my grandma from their travels, because it's the cutest thing.
That's so nice.
Yeah. Okay. So my activity one, and this is where I'm really hitting the thrill seeker aspect of my trip. So this is me personally, and I know that my mom and Betty Ann would be interested in this too. I'm very interested in the pre-Hispanic history of Mexico City, the Aztec history specifically. Now, our other Erios show, our sister show, The Alarmist, where we talk about history's greatest disasters and find out who's to blame, it's hosted by Rebecca Delgado Smith. We did a whole episode on the fall of the Aztec Empire, and it is just fascinating. And the Aztec Empire is now known as Mexico City.
And to be clear, the Aztecs came and took over Mexico, the original Mexicans that lived in Mexico, and then the Aztecs were taken over by the Spanish, correct?
That's right. And so, yeah, and so there's a really rich history in Mexico City. And of course, one of the greatest ways to experience this is to go see the ancient Aztec pyramid, Teotihuacan.
Okay,
so now most people, it's a tourist attraction. A lot of people go, you see people climbing the stairs, like hundreds and hundreds of people climbing these steep stairs up to the top of the pyramid. So I'm going to avoid all that by taking a balloon tour.
Oh my God.
Now, this is from the website MexicoFlightAdventures.com. It's a sunrise balloon tour.
Oh, that's so
I should
pretty.
Say a hot air balloon tour.
Duration, 1 minute.
Well, that has to be an error.
No, I think it says $150, duration, 1 minute approximately. Well, God, you're up and down in no time.
So here's Teotihuacan, and I'm probably saying that wrong, so apologies. You can see that these massive, incredible pyramid structures.
Wow.
And then, okay, so because I'm on a luxury budget, I'm popping for some of the perks. There's add-ons to this hot air balloon tour. And one of the add-ons is to have a mariachi band play you off into the air.
Okay. And I see this here. There's a balloon on the ground, and there's a couple people in the basket, and then there's four mariachi members seeing them off.
Okay, so I'm definitely popping for the mariachi, because that's also, to me, is like, if you're going to go to Mexico City, you got to see some mariachi.
And yeah.
And so, of course, this will be a private balloon tour with just Jan and Betty Ann. And I mean, it's just incredible to see the sun rise over these ancient pyramids floating high above everyone else. And it just looks totally gorgeous. There's also a champagne toast that you do as you're, you know, floating in the air. And it just seems like would be doing a balloon tour of the pyramids is sort of the best way for my money to see them, especially when, you know, Jan and Betty Ann, they're very agile. Like, they did hike up the stairs of the Egypt pyramids. But I think this might be a little bit nicer for them while still hitting that adventurous note.
Can I just say this, that part of me thinks that they invited that saxophone player with them.
Yeah, he can play along with the mariachi.
Yeah, well, I think he brings it. And then once they're up and they're doing their champagne toast, he probably takes it out and starts playing one of his classics.
I wonder what they mean by classics.
A classic sax solo.
They said a cover. So it's the songs we're probably familiar with. I guess some...
Yeah, probably playing some like Phil Collins or maybe
Kenny
a little.
G.
Yeah, I am sure. Believe me, I think that he can do just about, or she can do just about anything with that sax.
Thank you for making sure to be inclusive on that. Okay, so now I've kind of paired my adventure activities with a dining experience that's also in my mind adventurous. We are dining here, and this is looks incredible. This is in the same area because the pyramids are like an hour drive from Mexico City. This is a restaurant called La Gruta, and it is a restaurant inside of an ancient cave.
Shut up. So this is in Teotihuacan. So this is by the pyramids.
This is by the pyramids. So according to their website, La Gruta restaurant is one of the most traditional and impressive places of the area. Here you will get the chance to taste delicious dishes that mix local cuisine ingredients from pre-Hispanic culinary heritage and enjoy traditional Mexican folk dance shows. Throughout the years, we've had the pleasure to welcome high public figures from different fields like Frida Kahlo, Diego Rivera, George Louis Borges, Queen Elizabeth II, among other influential people. And this is, it's insane. Wow. Because it's in this huge, beautiful, uplit cave, but the seating arrangements, it's white tablecloth with all these different sort of colored hacienda-type chairs, you know, the traditional clay pots. And I'm just looking through some of this menu here. As a starter, you could do a trio of quesadillas. Oh, you've got fried corn cakes. They have barbecue, like Mexican barbecue, which seems to be sort of maybe a pre-Hispanic tradition.
Wow.
It just looks really,
really
good.
I'll tell you something. In researching Mexico City, I got almost angry at how good the food looked.
It looks throughout. So good.
It and looks so good.
And I'm also seeing here you can order just maybe a large bowl of what seems to be worms.
And I'll tell you what, after researching, it's like nothing looks better to me now than like a bowl of crispy grasshoppers.
Oh my God, yes. Just a couple sprinkled on your taco.
I would love to just eat a handful of like crispy bugs.
I'm down. I would try it. I mean, it's not something I would be really looking forward to, but I'm a thrill seeker. So, hey, on this trip, Jan and Betty Ann, they're going to probably eat some bugs.
Now, are you in the role of Jan or Betty Ann in this, just as you're planning it?
You know, I'm flying above. I'm the sax player. I'm the female sax player. Okay,
yeah. Got it.
Okay. So, of course, I come with them to the restaurant. And I just have to say a quick note about this. Betty Ann is late to everything. Okay, so okay. She almost misses the balloon flight. She misses the car pickup, but they're finally able to make it because they hold it for them because it's only two of them. It's a private tour.
Sure, sure. And it's only a minute tour, so if you're late, you're done.
Yeah, and so that's true. And so my mom, in retelling me stories about her travels with grandma, says Betty Ann is always late to everything because she like can't find her glasses and she'll keep busloads of people waiting. She does not care.
Oh, wow.
Also, the thing to know about Betty Ann is she needs her tab and she needs her Virginia Slims.
Okay,
so she's not going to be happy. And I just want to say as a note, at this cave restaurant, she pulls out a she tries to smoke on the hot air balloon and they yell at her. Okay. And she
right.
Gets,
but she goes, there's a big
angry.
Flame right here. There's a big flame lifting us up. What's wrong with a little one on my Virginia Slim?
She tries to ash her long cigarette over the pyramids and they oh say, God. No, you can't do that. She tries to smoke inside the cave. They say, no, you can't do that. And she goes, oh, bloody bones, which is what my grandma used to say.
Aw.
Okay, so activity number two, and this is on my must-do list if I go to Mexico City. The ladies are seeing a little bit of Lucha Libre.
Hell yeah. Wow, wow, wow. Okay.
And to me, this is like, I'm a little bit adapting the thrill-seeking vibe, because to me, when I think of thrill-seeking, I know it's like mountain biking and like spelunking down a cave, but Mexico City, it's not really thrill-seeking territory. So I'm
Amanda,
adapting it.
I think it's whatever gets your heart racing.
Okay,
you know
then
what I
Lucha
mean?
Libre gets my heart
I
racing.
I think it's perfect. Yeah, it would.
Okay, so if you don't know, Lucha Libre is the iconic Mexican wrestling, and it's a way of life for many people in Mexico City and a sport with the second highest spectator rate after football in Mexico. It's also an increasingly popular tourist attraction with thousands of annual visitors, considering it a key part of Mexico culture. And it's a spectacle like no other. It surpasses the ridiculousness of US's WWE. And, you know, there's...
Wow. Wow, those are strong words.
I know, it really is. So here you can see really the best place to see Mexican wrestling in Mexico City. There's three key places, but where I'm going is the Arena Mexico is sort of the main place to go see Lucha Libre.
Right.
And it's this really huge facility where they can fit like thousands of people in. But I'm sending the ladies off to do that. And of course, I'm attending as guardian with my
And
sacks.
Do you think that Betty Ann gets maybe called up on stage at some point?
Oh, of course, of course. Oh, yeah. She's getting a private lesson.
And the whole crowd. the whole crowd cheers and like the ref raises her hands and she's, you know, and then afterwards people are like, we saw you up there. You're so good.
I think one of the wrestlers picks her up and spins her around his head.
Yeah, that's fun.
Okay. And so after Betty Ann and Jan, they go to get churros.
Yeah.
Because you got to.
You got
it. And apparently, I'm sure this place crossed your path as well, but the best churro place in Mexico City is called El Moro. And it looks incredible. So they make these huge churro spirals. And this, is, of course, is the Old Town location, which is the original one. It's very charming.
Yeah. And they do. And they're open 24 hours.
Incredible.
At least the one that I'm not saying if I go, but I'm just saying there is one that is open 24 hours and it looks incredible. Oh my God.
And so you go and you get these, what I'm sure are like just the crispiest but gooey on the inside churros, and you get a hot chocolate. So you either get a Mexican hot chocolate, which I believe has cinnamon in it, or maybe that's just plain Mexican chocolate. There's French with vanilla. There's the special, which has a touch of cinnamon, so maybe that's what I'm thinking. Swiss chocolate and whipped cream and mocha. And I'm getting the special. No, I'm getting, the one with cinnamon.
Wow, I would get the French with a little vanilla in it. I think that might be really nice.
That sounds really good.
And but so I'm not on this trip, but I'm just saying.
No, but if you do go on your trip, which I'm assuming you do, because you got to eat churros when you're in Mexico City. Okay, so my next activity, and this is my last one, and I'm so excited about this. Jan and Betty Ann are going to the floating gardens of Okay, how do I say this? Let me Google how to say this word.
Maybe it's like Xochimilco?
I looked it up earlier, and then it escaped me. Here we go. Let's see. Xochimilco, but it's spelled with Xochimilco. Xochimilco. The floating gardens of Xochimilco. Okay, so did these cross your path?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
They were talked about on Somebody Feed Phil, that Netflix documentary. He goes to Mexico City and he goes on one of these. It looked absolutely lovely.
So fun. So drive 40 minutes south of the city and you'll witness the closest approximation to the Valley of Mexico before the arrival of the Spanish. This World Heritage Site of Xochimilco. The extensive lake and canal system that once connected most of the settlements in the valley is an incredible vestige of the area's pre-Hispanic past. Start at the Embarcadero Belém dock to board a colorful gondola-like boat called a trajinera and explore the waterways and artificial islands or chinampas. So basically chinampas. So basically, you go out to this little part of town where there's this whole canal system. You rent one of these boats that comes with a driver. And then these boats float down this beautiful river and people pass you like food vendors on their boats where they're grilling elote and selling tacos. Wow. And people selling, you got to get a michelada. So that's the first thing the ladies do is get a michelada, which is a Mexican drink. It's beer and like tomato juice, sort of like Bloody Mary mixture mixed with beer. And you just do this beautiful river cruise. And along the way, you stop and people are selling souvenirs and people are having parties. Apparently, locals will go and rent one of these trajineras for birthdays and special celebrations. And it's a water carnival, essentially.
That's wonderful. It's so bright. Like, just looking at the pictures, it's just so bright and colorful.
And I found, for anyone who's interested in really doing one of these, an Airbnb experience that sounds super fun. So this is an experience hosted by Isa and Mau, M-A-U. And it's the winner of the Best New Mexico City Experience 2019 on Airbnb. And essentially, it's just sort of like they've got a boat. They take you along. They cook for you and feed you tequila and mezcal. And they're locals. They live out there. And they just kind of take you on this boat tour. And it looks really fun. So I'm just going to show you some pictures here of how much fun. There's a mariachi that floats by. And I mean, these micheladas just look huge. They're in these like big red cups. People are dancing on the boats and drinking tequila out of what looks to be an empty, like a hollowed out melon.
It looks wonderful.
Yeah, it sure does. So this is something that I would definitely do if I go to Mexico City.
Yeah.
Now, again, Betty Ann, I think they'll let her smoke on the boat. So she's been
okay. Thank God. My God. I love how her character arc is just trying to find a place to smoke and not get in trouble.
Okay, so this is my last pick, and this is a bar that I definitely want to try because I think if you're in Mexico City, you're going to want to try the pulque.
Oh, yeah. I've heard this. Okay, yes.
So this is by where the boats are. It's a local pulqueria. It's called El Templo de Diana Ciudad de Mexico. And this is just this sort of divey pulqueria. And now quickly, I'm going to tell you what pulque is. Pulque is a pre-Hispanic beverage with a consistency reminiscent of kombucha, if kombucha were made from okra. So Okay. Just wrap your head around that.
I'm trying.
It's about as alcoholic as beer, but it's made with the lightly fermented sap of the agave. The flavor, once you acquire a taste for it, is addictively zingy. Natural or plain, ooh, pulque is an opaque, milky color, but fizzy and bright on the tongue. Sweet but not cloying, lightly viscous, not slimy, and just ever so yeasty, like the whiff of a freshly risen bread dough hitting the oven. Wow. Most places kind of do plain or fruit versions. And it lives up to its reputation as the drink of the gods. There's only 3 photos on Yelp.
Wow. So this is a local. This is a locals only joint.
It's a locals only joint. And apparently peanut shells on the ground or sawdust on the ground. And some of the flavors that you can get are mango, limon, piña, cocoa. I bet the piña or cocoa is really good.
Oh, yeah.
And so this place is just like a total, like, it's just awesome. It's super local spot. It's very, like, seems sort of like iconic Mexico City hole in the wall. They say go up to the counter and ask for the menu. Surprise, the only thing on the menu is pulque. I personally recommend the salary, apio, pulque. They're so large, you're in for a treat. Sit and drink too, or take your pulques to go. In one picture, there seems to be an effigy of a man sort of hanging from the ceiling, a blow up
silver man.
Yeah, silver man. Yeah, and I don't know if this is some sort of threat or perhaps it's a pinata. I'm not sure, but he seems to be holding a gourd. But he's strung up, sort of hanging above the restaurant, like the pulque guardian. Maybe he's the god. Looking over.
Maybe he's the saxophone player. Maybe that's you.
I love it. So essentially, that's my placation. I kept it simple this week, but I'm really, you know, a strong believer in everything. I stand by my choices.
And I stand by them too. I think that's a lovely, thrill-seeking, luxury vacation. I think it ticked all those boxes. And that cave dinner is something else. I'd for sure, you know, it reminds me of my cave massage in Bermuda.
Yes.
But instead of getting a massage, I'm eating.
Anything you can really do sort of in a cave, it do feels it. Like a luxurious experience.
Yeah. Well, Amanda, I think it's a wonderful. And would you go to Mexico City? Would you?
I'm already
top
there.
Of your list.
I'm already there. I think it would be a great trip.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we will go on my playcation. Amanda.
Oh, did you know? I thought you said I got a break.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
All right, everyone. As a reminder, I am on a roughing it budget, which means $0 to $50 a night for lodging. I am on a foodie. My travel personality is foodie, and I am on a vacation with my mother-in-law.
I'm so excited. I think foodie is really a gift when you're going to Mexico City.
It really is. It really is. But as I said during yours, the amount of good food really does just send you into like this. I need all this. I need it, and I need it now.
Well, and also, you know, as two Southern California girls, we grew up eating Mexican food. It's probably one of my favorite cuisines.
Yeah.
Perhaps the cuisine I eat the most. And so the idea that I could go and get like the most amazing Mexican food
to the source. Yeah.
Oof, I like it.
Okay. So in my story, I am playing a woman named Gloria, and she's 35 years old. And okay. I am a food critic for Bon Appetit magazine.
Wow.
That's right. And I'm in Toronto doing a review on one of their top restaurants. And what I've worked out with my husband, Hank, is that so his sister is getting married in Puerto Vallarta.
Uh-huh.
And so he's like, hey, why don't you, because my mom, his mom lives in Toronto, why don't you guys fly down together to Puerto Vallarta?
Ooh, I smell a plane crash.
So I say, great. Now, I get along with my mother-in-law, and let's say I'm going to cast my mother-in-law, and her name is Sylvia. I'm casting her as Helen Mirren.
Oh.
Okay.
I mean, lucky.
I know, but she's not playing proper Helen Mirren. She's a little earthier, okay? She's a little salt of the earthier, okay? This is a role for her that would maybe kind of put her in a Golden Globe category because she's playing a little against type. But she's got that presence. She's got that, like, self-stature. Now, before we leave on our flight to Puerto Vallarta, Sylvia gets some shocking news.
Uh-oh, her husband's been arrested for a Ponzi scheme.
No. Now, let me rephrase this. Now, a couple weeks before we leave, Sylvia got some crazy news. Sylvia used to live on Prince Edward Island.
Uh-oh.
And before she moved to Toronto. And around 2003, something really horrible happened to her husband, who was a lighthouse keeper. His name was Donald O'Brien, and he went missing. And they never found him until she could never find closure. Like, she could never, because she was like, he's out there. Now, about 3 weeks ago, they found his body, and they deemed it, I can't remember what they deemed it, but
accident.
I think
it was a classic story of an old drunk toppling over a lighthouse balcony.
Okay. So anyway, after he went missing, she moved to Toronto. She's now 70. And basically with this news that her husband, Donald O'Brien, was found, she now has permission to kind of move on with her life or find a new, you know, to kind of find herself now because she was holding on to something for so long.
Well, to be honest, she's relieved because that guy was a dick.
Well, at the end of the day, she just hopes whoever did it feels it was worth it because she doesn't quite believe that it was an accident. But that's neither here nor there. That's not part of the story. And so we meet at the airport in Toronto, and we don't really have much to talk about because I'm a Bon Appetit, right? Like, I eat at the fanciest places, the most luxurious places. And she was a lighthouse keeper's wife, and they, you know, they had like their own farm and whatever. She's not into that stuff at all. And so I come to her and I'm like, hey, I upgraded your ticket to first class with me. And she's like, why do I need that? Like, why on earth would I need that? And I'm like, oh, okay, Sylvia, I'm sorry. Like, we just really don't see eye to eye on a lot of stuff. Here, you know, I say, here's Sylvia with her old tricks. So we land in Mexico City because we have a layover. And we learn that our connecting flight has been canceled because of a tropical storm.
Uh-huh.
And they say, look, this is going to, you know, the storm is going to pass for another 48 hours. So, you know, you're going to have to just do what you will in that time. And we say, okay, what, you know, the wedding's in 3 days. So we've got time. This isn't life or death here. But, you know, what we're going to have to do is stay in Mexico City. And so I'm like, okay, Sylvia, I'll get this really nice hotel. And Sylvia goes, no. She says, I'm not doing this. I want to do what I used to do with Donald. And that is, I want to go somewhere. I want to see places. I want to do things that, like, that are actually, like, that people there do. And I'm like, well, but don't you want to, like, stay? She's like, no. She goes, I'm going to find a place. And I say, okay, well, let's kind of meet in the middle. Can we stay? I've heard this town Roma is really good. This community Roma. Can you find a place there? And she's like, yes.
By the way, you probably had no problem finding a $50 or less accommodation.
Not at all. Okay, so this is a beautiful loft in the trendy Roma Condesa area. Beautiful. It's in the Sur Roma area, which is the southern part of the Roma district. It's this beautiful hardwood floor, modern, bright lights, big windows, lots of greenery. It's like a really gorgeous loft with a balcony. It's one bedroom, one bath, but there is a fold-out couch.
Okay, so who's taking the fold-out?
I'll take the fold-out. Because I know that she's been through a lot within the last couple weeks. And I don't mind. Like, that's not a big deal to me. I can kind of sleep anywhere. And this is going to set me back $41 a night.
It's truly incredible. You could really travel on a dime in Mexico City. And this place looks so nice. I mean, this would be probably like almost $200 a night if it were in LA.
More, I would think. And this is a super host. So this is like a really nice place. They got high speed internet. They've got a washing and drying machine. They've got a whole kitchen. And this Roma area is really, really beautiful. And I decided to kind of keep my trip within this area. And I'll just read a little bit about it. Roma has enjoyed a recent renaissance. Locals love Roma's combination of Art Deco mansions, colorful street art, and of course, the neighborhood's hipster vibe. Most of Mexico City is safe, and Roma is considered one of the safest neighborhoods in town. And this kind of includes the neighboring Condesa area. And this has kind of become like a hipster area. Now, Roma has become a bit gentrified. And in the southern area where we're going to be staying, it's a little, there are more Latin American immigrants here, but they've got tons of restaurants and shops catering to them. And this is actually in the southern area portion of, is where the Roma, the Alfonso Cuarón movie took place. Because that's where... the house was on Tepeji Street. So basically, we were at this place, and Sylvia says, look, I know you're going to want to eat at the nicest places here, but I'm picking the restaurants. I used to travel all the time with Donald, and we used to seek out the locals-only places, so I'm hungry. It's nighttime now. So she's like, well, we're going to go get for dinner. We're going to go to the Taqueria Los Cocuyas. Taqueria Los Cocuyas.
I love how she goes, it's nighttime now. I'm hungry.
Sylvia's, she's her own woman. That's for damn sure.
Okay, so is this like a little taco hole in the wall or what? Ugh, yeah. Look at these damn street tacos. I want this for lunch today.
I know. So this is more in the Centro region. And I'll be staying within the Roma in the Centro region, which is very near to each other. It's about 20 minutes. And this is just a taco place where they make street tacos and
I gotta say what I'm seeing here. This is a huge pot, the biggest pot I've ever seen of stewed meats. And it looks to me like they are stewing chorizo, they're stewing cactus and all sorts of pulled pork and meat all together in one pot. And then they fish out the protein for each taco. So this has to have an amazing flavor, these tacos.
It looks incredible. And then
there's some tongue in there. Yeah. Oh, look at this huge pot of meat. That better go on your collage. That's insane.
Oh yeah, it'll get in there real quick. So I have a bite and I'm like, and she's like, you know, just as good as one of your fancy restaurants. And I kind of look at her and I go, yeah, you know, it's not bad, Sylvia.
And she goes, so I told you what you were eating was tongue?
Well, I'd say I'm a food writer, so I've eaten taco before, so it's not a big
deal. But you're like a snobby food writer. You only go to the places with Michelin stars.
So the next day, we wake up, we're kind of groggy, and we wake up a little later, and she says, we're going to go to the Tepita market. Now, okay. I don't know if you know about the Tepita market, but this is actually considered, or used to be considered, one of the most dangerous kind of outdoor markets in Mexico. And over the last couple years, it's been revived as like the food and just the community where it's like you don't have to be afraid of it anymore. Go, because they've got this thing called Migas La Guerra.
Okay, let me try to think what that is. So migas are, because I know I've seen migas on a restaurant menu before. Okay, what is it?
Okay, so it's this stew. Just to let you know, this market is like, basically they've got like bootleg DVDs and like you can buy anything there. It's like one of those places where you're like walking around, people are selling everything. But then they've got this thing called Migas La Guerra, and it's a legend in Tepito, making the best migas in the only neighborhood in Mexico City where you can get this working class comfort stew. Whole pork legs are cracked and stewed for hours until they bleed a marrow-rich broth, which is then thickened by migas, a discarded bread tops from torteras or torta makers.
Mm.
And so basically it's just this really rich, and I'm showing you here, it's this like just thick meaty stew that's supposed to be the most flavorful thing that you've ever tried. And I watched a couple, Anthony Bourdain went there, Phil went there, and both of them tried it and were like, oh my God, this is the most delicious thing I've ever tried. And it's literally in the middle of this market.
Now I look at this and I go, that's a hangover cure.
Right. And they do. I think insane. They do. It looks so, oh my God, it looks so.
And it seems to be, is it a breakfast stew? Because I'm seeing here, the picture you're showing me, it's this big hearty bowl of just gelatinous stew served next to a cup of black Mexican coffee, which
it
sounds,
could be.
I'd eat this for breakfast after a night of mezcal tasting.
Hell yeah. So we have that, and now I'm like, wow, Sylvia, you've really kind of hit these out of the park. Is it okay if I pick the next place? Because what we've kind of decided now on, we haven't spoken about it, is that we're kind of doing a food tour through Mexico City. And so I'm like, well, let me do something. And what I think we should do is let loose a little. And there's nothing more that says Mexico like going to a bar to try some mezcal.
Oh, love it. A mezcaleria.
So we go to La Clandestina. Now, mezcal is interesting. So tequila can only be called tequila if it's made within a certain region of Mexico. Mezcal is a more artisan kind of tequila where it doesn't have to come from that, and it's more people create it, I think. So mezcal is tequila, or what is it? Mezcal is tequila, but tequila isn't mezcal.
Well, mezcal isn't tequila. Tequila has to be made in Tequila, Mexico.
Right. But it's made.
I think it's like, but mezcal is smoky, so it's aged.
What is the difference between tequila and mezcal? Food and wine, we ask. Tequila is a type of mezcal, much of like how scotch and bourbon are types of whiskey.
Right.
But mezcal is defined as is any agave-based liquor. This includes tequila, which is made in specific regions of Mexico and must be made from only blue agave. So mezcal is made with a different kind of agave. Mezcal can be made from more than 30 varieties of agave.
Now, I'm curious, is mezcal always smoky or no? It sounds like mezcal doesn't even have to be smoky, but that's how I know it.
Right. I'm not sure.
Do you drink mezcal, Maria?
I have. Like, I've ordered, like, a mezcal cocktail at, like, Little Dom's and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
In L.A. Like They've it. Always got... Yeah, I do, too. So, we go to La Clandestina. And it's this really cute little mezcal bar in Mexico City. And here, do you see it, Amanda?
It's charming. So, they have these big... It's, like, lit red with these big shelves, bottles of beautiful mezcal... all from all over Mexico lining the shelves, and also these huge big vats of mezcal in these clear vats, and they have tubes snaking out of them. So it's almost like this kind of scary looking
monster
with all these mezcal tubes, but it looks very cool. And then of course you're showing me some agave farms here.
Well, yeah, it seems in the back they have huge agave back there. I'm not sure. So we spend an hour or two just at this bar enjoying our mezcal.
And is that when your mother-in-law sort of opens up to you about the suspicious circumstances surrounding her husband's death?
Not quite yet. So she is being a little less guarded, but it's still kind of, we're not quite getting there yet. So just a little more about... Clandestina. For a night of mezcal curated and served by La Clandestina's highly knowledgeable staff, don't be intimidated. It's great for first timers as well as mezcal experts. And you should order the mezcal straight up. They come served. Oh, and this is interesting, which is what I learned. They don't come with lime. They come with slices of oranges dusted with chili and a bowl of addictively salty roasted pumpkin seeds.
How good does that sound? And that makes sense because like mezcal to me is a little bit more similar to like a scotch or a whiskey or a bourbon, which you might have with an orange, not necessarily a lime.
Yeah. And someone did talk about how they have this avocado cocktail there that looked absolutely incredible. So just keep that on the back burner. Okay, so now Sylvia's a little sauced, all right?
And she's not a big drinker, right? So she's got like a low tolerance.
And she goes, she stands up at La Clandestine and she goes, "Where do I go to dance? Where do I go to dance?"
Okay.
And I go, Sylvia. And she goes, "No, somebody tell me where." And one of the bartenders goes, "Well, there's only one place to go dance the salsa, and that's at Mama Rumba. And that's in the Roma district."
How fun. And so dance halls are a big thing. I was just researching that this morning in Mexico City. They seem so fun.
They do. And there's this other one called like Saloon de Los Angeles.
I saw really that nice one. Too. That looks awesome.
And let me just tell you this, because we are on a roughing it budget. Ladies get in free Wednesday and Thursday nights.
Woo! Ladies nights.
So this is Mama Rumba, and it is a neon lit sign on a Roma street, and inside they have live salsa music, dancing. It's this cute bar with tiled floor, and it just looks like a rip-roaring good time.
And so are you two dancing with each other, or are you sort of meeting strange men and letting them twirl you around?
What I think is happening is I'm sitting down on my phone. I'm kind of texting my husband going like, "Hey," he's like, "Where are you guys? Is everything okay?" Because he knows that we're like kind of not, we don't get along that well. And I'm like, "You know, we're actually having a pretty okay." And he's like, "Where are you guys?" And I'm like, "We're salsa dancing." And then he goes, "Salsa dancing." And then you see Sylvia on the dance floor with this fox just spinning her around and twirling. And she's laughing like I've never seen.
Okay, until she throws up, right?
Yeah, and this guy, I'm just going to say, this guy looks like, I'm casting him as Diego Luna. And we know how he danced in Dirty Dancing Havana Nights. Like, we remember that.
Yes.
And so she's kind of in that. And yeah, she does. She spins around until she runs to the bathroom. And when she comes out of the bathroom, I go, "Are you okay? Do you want to go home?" And she goes, "Do I want to go home? Let's go get some tacos al pastor."
Yes, girl.
So tacos al pastor is this specialty taco that looks amazing. It's basically done on a spit like you would at a Middle Eastern restaurant, like at a gyro, where they slice off the meat and they turn it. And this place is called El Vilcito. And it's open late at night. During the day, it's an auto repair shop, Amanda. This is the hottest spot to go for tacos al pastor, you know, at least what I've seen. I'm obviously don't know for sure, but this is like, this gets hopping in during the night after people have been out drinking and dancing. And it looks absolutely incredible.
Or what is al pastor?
So al pastor, normally al pastor is made with boneless pork shoulder sliced super, super thin.
Hmm.
So we go and have these, and then I go, "You know what you're going to like? I know it's very touristy and it's not, but we got to go to El Moro. We have to go get some churros because they're open 24 hours a day and we've just had the night of our lives." And so we go to El Moro, which you went to as well. And that is the churro place to be, where you get your Mexican hot chocolate and you get your churro and you dip it in and you just enjoy it, this sweet, crunchy goodness.
And so you're going to the one in your neighborhood, though, which is a different one that I went to. I went to the original one that's a little bit more like, I don't know how to describe it. It's like a little bit more hole in the wall vibes. And yours, the ones that they've done more recently are these beautiful sort of white, almost Parisian looking cafes.
So then we go to bed. And in the morning, we've got a little bit of a hangover, but I go, "Look, you've been picking a lot of the places, Sylvia, and there's this place that we need to try. I just have to try. And it's called Panaderia Rosetta."
I knew you would go to a panaderia.
Well, this was off, you know, out of the story. We're stepping out of the story for a second. This was recommended by Paisley Gray. Now, she went to Rosetta, which is the restaurant that's across the street that I couldn't afford on this budget because it is a really nice restaurant, but they get all their baked goods and everything from Panaderia Rosetta. And they actually make a bread, which they do on Somebody Feed Phil. They do a bread with, what's the alcohol called that you had on your trip, on your boat trip?
Yeah, is it pulque? It's pulque.
They do a bread made out of pulque. Their donuts, I'm going to show you right now, look absolutely incredible. And everyone who has one, like on Yelp or whatever, is like, this is the best thing I've ever had in my life.
All these treats look so good.
So they do fresh bread and sandwiches, and then they do the fluffiest donuts. Let me find a picture of the donut for you. The fluffiest donut of your life, if you can see this.
It almost looks like a dulce de leche donut where there's like a cream center and yum.
It looks incredible. And oh my God, this all looks so good. Oh my God, I'm dying.
I would die for this too. It seems like they have savory foods too. Like I'm seeing a quiche and a salad.
Yeah, and it's more like a walk-up, walk-around bar. It's like a little bakery, and it's connected to that restaurant across the street, and it's oh my God, it's like a must-go-to place. So we go here, and we get our coffee and our breakfast donut and pastry, and then we decide we're going to take a little walk, and we're going to go to the farmer's market. We're going to go to the Mercado El Cien, and that is a outdoor farmers market in the Roma district, and they've just got vendors set up that are selling all fresh organic produce.
I see some heirloom corn here.
Yeah, and it's just in this park, this like palm tree lined street, and it's just a little cart after cart of just different goods, and it just looks really great. And as we're walking through, this is when Sylvia opens up, and she goes, you know, I haven't danced like that. I haven't been able to be free in the last, you know, almost 20 years. And I never thought it would be with you because I know we're so different. But I really feel that I've opened myself to like be more ready to accept life. And I look at her and I go, you know, Sylvia, I would have never done half the things we did or eaten at half the places we did unless you would have pushed me out of my comfort zone. And we kind of laugh and we smile and, you know, I go, are you going to eat the rest of that donut? And then, you know,
she shoves it in your face.
Yeah, she shoves it in my face. Or she says, yes, I am. And I swat it out of her hand so neither of us can enjoy it. And then we go to the airport and we head back and we head to Puerto Vallarta for the wedding. And my husband, Hank, goes, how was it? And I know these memories are just for us. So I kind of look at him and I go, it was really good. And I don't go any further than that.
You don't say your mom threw up at a dance hall?
No, he'll never know. He'll never know. And then I will tell you that in a couple months, we are going to learn that Sylvia has taken up dancing classes in Toronto. Well, salsa.
Thank God for that. And honestly, we can thank Kara for all of this.
Well, I think Kara should still be, you know, legally, the legal system should come in and kind of, she should get what's coming to her.
Well, good luck finding her.
So yeah, that the placations for Mexico City were really, I mean, I just walk away from our placations going, how lovely.
You know what I think, actually? I think if you, because like we had our personalities. I think if you fused our two trips, it would, and which you really could, because yours was so food driven and mine was so activity based. You truly would have the perfect placation.
And you don't see Amanda's hands right now, but she took my placation in one hand and hers in the other, and she clasped them together over her head. Like,
I did. Just to make sure you knew what I was talking about.
Yes, you fused them together. Well, that's the thing, is mine was very food driven, and I did stay very in a very small area, and you went outside the city and you ventured out that way. And honestly, I would love to go outside the city. I'm sure you would have loved to explore more inside the city. I would take this vacation in a heartbeat.
Now, and a couple honorable mentions that I have to say that I didn't get to fit into my trip. There's some incredible museums. Like, I'd love to go to the museum where you learn more about the pre-Hispanic culture. I'd love to go to the Frida Kahlo Museum. It's supposed to be amazing.
Yeah.
There's lots of art to see. There is this amazing restaurant that everyone recommends. I think it's called Nico. And now Nico's is just this little family-run restaurant. It's really unassuming looking, but apparently they have just the most amazing food. It's one of those things where you get like a tableside guacamole, tableside salad. Mm. There's a mezcal cart that wheels around the restaurant. Oh, and it just looks like this to me is like the perfect, because I'm not really a big, like, even though I had a luxury budget, like, I don't want to go to like the 8-course prefix menu. Like, that's just not how I
curse.
It's just not how I like to eat. I want to go to Nico's. You know, which is still pricey, but it's more warm and familiar, which I like.
I think there is something fun to doing that and then having one day, which is what we did in Sweden, where you go and you go to like a Michelin starred place where you're where there's like a Mexican chef who's doing things with Mexican cuisine that no one else is doing and is doing it in a way no one else is doing it, and you couldn't get it anywhere in the world, and that is so expensive. There is something really enjoyable culturally in that way.
Yeah.
But that's a one night thing. That's no way to eat every day when you're in a city like Mexico City.
Not for me. And I think you actually had a great focused trip doing all the wonderful street tacos and stuff, which is one of the highlights, I think, of traveling there.
Yeah.
I think I'm giving us a handshake.
All right. Well, you guys, usually right now we would do the Wheel of Adventure, but Amanda's going to be out of town next week.
I'm going on a placation come to life to Maui.
I can't believe it. So I'm going to now turn over to two gals you might know if you're Erios listeners and you listen to Web Crawlers, but Ali Siegel and Melissa Stetton are going to be in the place of Amanda Lund next week when we travel to Namibia, Africa. All right, everyone, it's Maria. It's your boy, Maria, with you. And I'm now with the Web Crawlers, Allie and Melissa, who are going to be joining me on next week's Playcation. So I've decided that for our Playcation, we're all going to travel to Namibia, Africa.
Oh, I love it. How exciting.
So now what we're going to do is we're going to spin the Wheel of Adventure. And I'm going to have you guys plan your trip together. Because if I didn't, that would be like a 3-hour episode.
True.
So the first thing we're going to spin for is budget. Okay. Let me tell you guys the different tiers.
Fingers crossed.
Okay? There's roughing it, which is camping to $50 for a night. I did do some pre-research, and just to let you guys know, if you do get roughing it, or if I do, there are some Airbnbs that look really nice they're like $30 a night.
Okay.
Then there's economy, which is spending up to $250 a night. There's extreme comfort, which is $250 to $650 a night. There's luxury, which is $650 to $2,000 a night. And then there's the Golden Goose Clooney budget, which is anything above $2,000, and you have to spend over $2,000 a night.
Whoa. Holy moly, guacamole. Which,
come on, Clooney.
It can be a curse. And no, it can be. I'm going to tell you this right now. It can be a curse that you don't even know. Okay, I'm going to spin for you guys. Can you see?
Ooh, yes.
Oh, cool. Yes.
Okay, here she goes.
Come on. No whammies.
Extreme comfort, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah. So that's what?
That means $250 to $650 a night.
Hell yeah. Great.
I'm going to spin for me, and I so want luxury. It's not even, like,
I already know you're not
going to
get
bad.
It. You're going to get roughing it. I already feel it.
Here we go. No, economy. God,
economy.
It's
better than roughing it.
I feel like someone should get like Clooney. I feel like someone should get Clooney in Namibia because there's like safaris you can take. So I'm like a little pissed.
Oh, are the safaris really expensive?
Are the safaris expensive, Melissa? Yeah, is the queen the president?
Is the queen president?
Oh, boy.
Okay, well, I got economy. I can't wait.
You go on like a free safari.
Yeah, just walk around.
Just walk
and
around.
See what happens.
Yeah. Just wear like a bright yellow vest.
Yeah.
So no one mistakes you for an animal.
Okay, now we're going to do travel personality, okay? So this is kind of what your trip's going to revolve around, is who you are as a person. The options are party boy, travel influencer, romantic, thrill seeker, history buff, or foodie.
Okay.
Okay.
Here we go. Spinning. You guys got foodie.
Interesting. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to spin for myself. History buff. Okay. And now what we're going to do is our travel surprise. And what the travel surprise is that something, this is just something that you're going to have to incorporate into your trip. So there's meet a stranger with a secret.
Ooh.
You have to see some form of live entertainment. You take a day trip. You have social anxiety, or you got a gift card, baby. And if you get a gift card, you can do something that's completely out of your price range.
Oh, okay. That's fun. Like a safari.
You have
live entertainment. I like it. I like the sounds of that.
Okay. Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
Gift card, baby. All right. I'm okay with that. All is well in Maria Land. Okay. Well, I guess I'll see you guys next week when we travel to Namibia on Playcation.
Can't wait, Maria. Thanks for having us, my boy.
Can't wait.
All right, guys. Well, we'll see you next week. Amanda, have a great time on your real vacation.
Yeah, I will. Let's see if it can hold a candle to any of these playcations. I might go, you know what? It's not worth it. I could have just planned this thing and then stayed home, saved the money. And of course, to vote for either of our playcations, we post a poll on Twitter. So follow us at The Big Ones Pod to vote for whose Mexico City playcation you'd rather take. And email us your Mexico City recommendations, thoughts, or feelings to thebigonespodcast@gmail.com. Or leave us a voicemail at 626-604-6262.
Well, we'll see you next time on Playcation.
Original.
Powered by Acast.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.